The first thing I want to say is I am not used to fall in Georgia. I think I've been in 6 years and this is my first fall. It usually goes from summer to winter. So I'm really, really happy to have fall. Fall is my favorite season. And as Starbucks knows, I get a pumpkin spice latte almost every day during fall. So I love everything about fall. But according to a book that I never read, and I did read it on Saturday, but I'll probably never read it again. According to the Farmer's Almanac, Richard read the Farmer's Almanac. Okay, come on, people. It's harvest season, which means that it's time to reap everything that hard work has generated for the last couple of seasons. It's harvest time, a time to reap the growth that the seeds that have been planted have produced. It's harvest time, which means that depending on a number of factors, the next season in our lives is either going to be feast or famine. So as we enter into this new season in our church, in our individual lives, in our families, in our relationships, what time will it be? Well, that depends on a lot of factors. Now, come back with me to this summer. This summer, I preached a sermon series entitled In for Service. In that series, I used the metaphor of a car needing to be fine-tuned to prepare itself for a long journey. And the focus of that sermon was we need to be prepared to get from point A, which is where we presently were, to point B, which is where God would have us to go. Little did we know in the summer that right now, point B would be a time of upheaval and a time of uncertainty, a time of instability, and sometimes, if we're being honest, a time of discomfort, which is where we are right now, individually and collectively as a church, if we know it or not, or if we admit it or not. But the Christian life does not promise that every season would be without challenges. In fact, if you go to one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible, Ecclesiastes, chapter 2, the writer tells us there will be seasons of good times and that there will be seasons of hard times. If you remember verse 2 particularly, the writer says that there will be a time in our lives where it will be time to plant and a time when we would have to uproot, which means that there will be time where seeds will be planted within us and seeds that we will plant in other places, and that there will be times after that where the results of those seeds have to be gathered, no matter how mature they may be. And I want to recall one more reference. If you remember the story of Joseph in Genesis, right? Joseph, we find in 41 of Genesis, the 41st chapter, he is in jail, and the Pharaoh has his dream, and they use Joseph to come out of prison to interpret this dream. And the dream said that there would be 7 years of plentiful, bountiful time of harvest, and it would be followed by 7 years of famine directly after, which means that there will be good times, there will be bad times, there will be seasons of plenty, there will be seasons of lack. But the reality is, if we are prepared for the difficult seasons, if we stocked up the necessary spiritual resources in our lives, no matter what the next season brings, we will be okay. Now, I'm not a farmer, but I know that the goal of every farmer, every individual who sows seeds, is that when the time of harvest comes, the harvest is bountiful, which means that all the work that they put in, all the labor, all the lessons, all the hard times, the trial and error would be worth it, because in due season, the results of all of that work would be abundance. And if the season of winter is as difficult as it can be, and if it lasts into springtime, you're going to need those resources to be able to sustain you through a difficult winter. That's hard to do when the times are difficult. But in our lives also, we have been through some rough seasons as well. Maybe a rough season right now when we're looking for growth in areas and we're putting in work, right? Putting work into our families, putting work into our church, putting work into our hobbies, hoping that they would bear fruit, but we just aren't seeing the results that we want to see, which means that the harvest is not going to be as plentiful as we wanted it to be. The question for us to determine today is, how do we ensure that this new season that we are in individually and collectively, will be a time of feast and not famine? And the answer to that question is by making sure the seeds that have been planted in and around us, that they bear fruit. There is no harvest without the seeds being planted. And more importantly, there is no harvest if the seeds that have been planted are not in a position where growth can happen. Okay? All of that leads us into what I'm saying today. We find Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, at the shore. Jesus is just ready to engage the people, and then all of a sudden the people come, and they come out of all four corners of the area, and it's so much so that Jesus has to actually preach from a boat so that everyone can hear and see him. And he talks in parables, and if you know parables, there are over 30 parables in the Bible. They are spiritual stories hidden in sort of a riddle mystery type thing. And Jesus gives four instances. Right? Now, this is probably one of the easiest parables in Scripture, right? There's a sower sowing seed. Who's the sower sowing seed? It's God. What's the seed? Seed is the word of God. And it falls on four different places. And the first place it falls is the path. Now, if you've ever seen an ancient movie, you know that the path is like a dirt road with no soil. It's compacted by all the walking on it. So when the seed comes, it falls right on there. It's visible to everybody. It doesn't take root. And all of a sudden, here comes a bird. And what God is saying is that sometimes when I'm planting seeds, they don't even have time to take root, or something fleeting comes by and takes them. Which is kind of like saying, well, I told my kids not to spill. Don't make a mess here, right? And I'm telling that, I'm telling them, and all of a sudden they watch TV and they forgot everything I said. Like, how quickly does our attention take away from the lessons that we're supposed to learn? And that's what Jesus is saying right now. He's saying, here's a seed, something important, something for you to learn, something for you to take in, and it can't even take root before something else comes and takes it away. So that seed doesn't fall on a place that's hospitable for growth, which means if I am trying to build a life with someone, let's say I'm single, don't want to be single, but let's say I'm single, and I'm putting my time and my effort into somebody, but all of a sudden they're not paying attention to me. All the good deeds that I'm doing are immediately forgotten. All the sacrifices that I'm making just don't matter because something's taking their attention away. Can that seed bear fruit? Can it grow? No, it can't. But how many times in our lives are we putting our emphasis into places that won't be able to help us grow or mature? It's not a place to be. So that's one place. Here comes the rocky place. The rocky place has a little bit of soil, which means there's just a little bit of opportunity for growth. But the growth comes, but the reality is the soil is too shallow for it to take root, which means on the surface there's growth, but deep down where it really counts, at the root where it needs to be sustained, no growth. Can you have something viable there? No, because elements like the sun come and scorch it. So when we're talking about shallow faith, when we're talking about having things right on the surface but wrong deep down, you'll get a little bit of growth, but it's not sustainable growth. So that's not a place that you want to grow. Let's make an example of that. Let's say somebody comes to church and that they fall in love with everything we do on Sunday, but they don't read their Bible during the week. They're not having the sort of spiritual conversations that they need to have. They're not praying, trying to discern the will of God, but they love to come on Sunday and they love to clap their hands or they love to sing. They love to show that on the surface, here I am, I love God, I'm connected to God. But the moment trouble happens, like that sun scorching down on it, everything disappears. That's not a place for sustainable growth. We can't have shallow growth, which means our foundations have to be secure. So the path doesn't work. The rocky area doesn't work. All right, let's try the area with the thorns. Yeah, because that's going to work, right? But the idea of what Jesus is saying is sometimes there can be soil, but right alongside the soil, here come the thorns. So there's a place where you can be rooted and grounded, but everything around you is hazardous. That sums up my teenage years. Connected, in church, saved, singing in the choir, believing in God. But in my neighborhood, all my friends were selling drugs or dropping out of school or hurting people. So how does my faith develop to be sustainable when everything around me is perilous? It's impossible. When we think of the places that you're in, have you ever had a wonderful sermon on Sunday and then you go to your job on Monday and it's crap all around? Every week. Sorry, Joey, I'll pray for you. But the reality is, when we're around places and spaces and people that hurt us or take us around and away from where God would have us to be and threaten our growth, it's impossible to have the sustained, rooted, and grounded growth that we need. So imagine trying to harvest seeds in a treacherous environment like that. It's almost impossible. And here's the last example. The last example is the good soil. No thorns, which means the environment is a hospitable one. There are no hazards, there are no distractions, right? When the sun beats down on it, it's good because it's rooted and grounded. It's not a path where you can't penetrate. It's exactly where it needs to be. It's stable. It's beautiful. Jesus is telling them that sometimes growth is not a matter of dedication, but it's a matter of location. Now I'm coming down. Follow me, Jimmy. How many people in your life are good people for you? The things you watch on TV, are they edifying to you? Do you have a crazy family member who always gets on your nerves? Right? How many hazards are we living in on a daily basis? Lots of them, aren't we? So when we think about a garden, we're trying to till and trying to harvest these fruits and vegetables, and all we're getting are weeds. Because the environments that we are presently in are not hospitable for growth, which means that we have to mind where we are. We have to mind who we're around. We have to mind what we take in on a daily basis. Because if I'm surrounded with friends who are cheaters, why, when I'm upset with my wife, would I not say, hey, maybe I could. They got away with it. Or maybe if I have friends who cheat on tests, and it seems like maybe that's the easy way to get ahead. You know, they're doing it. They didn't get caught the last time. Maybe I should do it too. Our surroundings can bring us down if we're not careful. Even the people that we love the most can bring us down. So sometimes when we're wondering why the harvests in our lives are not as plentiful and bountiful, maybe it's because we're spending too much of our time in places and spaces that we should not be. Now, again, I'm not a farmer. In fact, there's probably Less farmland in New York City per capita than any place on the planet. But I did research what good soil is. And good soil is filled with organic material. Gabriel's in a garden club, so I'm helping you out. Organic material. Compost. Plant residue. Manure. Things that have living nutrients inside of it. That's good soil. Not dead stuff, necessarily, but stuff that's living. So how do we ensure that the seeds are plentiful and the harvest is plentiful? When God drops the seeds in our lives and in our hearts, we need the organic material of the Holy Spirit to build us up. The Holy Spirit lives in us, but the Holy Spirit does not control us. Living by the Holy Spirit is a choice. When we choose God, when we choose to make the right decisions, when we choose to sacrifice, that's the Spirit's work. And when we're submissive to the Spirit, then the seeds that God plants, the tests and the trials and the opportunities to grow and sacrifice are built up because it's God working in us for our benefit. If we read Galatians chapter 5, the traits of good Christian living are called the fruit of the Spirit. And Paul names it the fruit of the Spirit because it comes from seed. Seeds that are planted in our minds and in our hearts that with the Holy Spirit's power matures us so that we can be the people and we can have the harvest that God has called us to have. The fruit of the Spirit of love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. I'm talking about the seasons that we're in right now. Boy, couldn't we use some love in this season? Couldn't you use some joy in this season? Couldn't you use an extra bit of faithfulness in this season? Of course you can. We all could. But if we are having our minds clouded by negativity, negative people, negative thoughts, if we're in the wrong place, having the wrong conversations, then the fruit will never mature in us. And the harvest will not be able to sustain us during the dark winter that may come in our lives. So it's up to us to mind where we go, to mind the conversations. I'm in a place right now, I don't want to hear no negativity. And that was a double negative. Sorry, teachers. I don't want to hear no negativity. Don't bring me nothing like that. I don't want to hear it. Don't tell me what God's not going to do. Don't tell me what can't happen. Tell me what God is going to do. Richard, Bruce is gone. We're not going to make it. I don't want to hear that. I don't believe that. And neither do you. Neither should you. God is doing something special. Yes, this season may come with health challenges. Yes, this season may come with grief. Yes, it may come with uncertainty. But if God is working in us, if the seeds that have been planted take root in us, if we're having the conversations that we need to have, if we're praying like we need to, if we're reading our Bible like we need to, if we're having the faith to overcome like we've had all the times we've overcome before, then this is not going to be a time of famine, but it's a time of feasting. And we're going to believe that God is going to do something special in here. So are you allowing the Spirit of God to mature you? Don't find yourself on the rocky path. Don't have the shallow faith. A faith that can be shaken and broken whenever an obstacle comes. You want to be rooted and grounded in the good soil. Because those are the places where we will see growth. So in school, find yourself in the section of friends that are going to uplift you. If your boss gets on your nerves, high and by and keep it moving. If the strife is under your roof, find some place to go. But the season that God has us in, or that we're stepping into, may look challenging, it may seem insurmountable, but if we are giving our lives to Christ, if we're letting the seed, which is all the experiences in our lives that have prepared us for today, if we're letting the Holy Spirit work in us, telling us not to go there, but go there. Don't listen to this. Read this. Pray more. If we're submissive to God, then it doesn't mean that this time is going to be a time where we're drained, but a time where we can thrive. And I'm about thriving. I don't know about y'all. So I don't know what your conversations are like. I don't know if you're pessimistic. I don't know if you're a pessimist disguised as a realist. Disguised. But you know what? I ain't an optimist. I'm not a pessimist. I'm not a realist. I'm a Christian. And I know with God, all things are possible. So praise God in this season. Trust God in this season. Believe that God will do great things in this season. Even if the odds are stacked against you. And great things will come. Amen? Let us pray. Lord, we want to find ourselves in the good soil. We want to find ourselves rooted and grounded in you. So rooted in blow, we're fine. If the rain torrentially downpours on us, we'll be fine. If the snow falls on us, we'll be fine. We need the faith to sustain us, Lord. So we're asking you, our generous Father, our benevolent Father, to give us all that we need in this season, to remind us of all the times that you have allowed us to overcome before, and tell us that this time is going to be no different. Grief is here. Sadness is here. Uncertainty is here. Health challenges are here. Negativity is here. But your Spirit is here also. So Holy Spirit, get big in us. Push the doubt aside. Push the frustration aside. Push the junk aside. And reign in us, Lord, so that the challenges are nothing more than future testimonies. Bless us as one body. Bless us as individuals. Bless us as a family of God. In Christ's name we pray.